accept, forgive, and love. And this topic came from Angus, because he's like, what's the last one? He said, what about how to forgive? And I meditate on it. You can't really forgive someone if you don't accept them first. So accepting is, to me, a key. While we were yet sinner, Jesus died for us. So Jesus accepted us when we were really yucky, you know, in the gutter of sins. And then he said, hey, you don't have to be there because I've forgiven you. Proactive. He died on the cross and said, you can have a better life. And that's what love is. So we're going to look at it. And then I asked the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, can you kind of show me how you do it? And this is God saying, look at Luke 15. You've got all the answer here. All right, Luke 15 is well known. All right, so I want to not teach you. This is something I do as a young Christian. All right, I always think about a Chinaman in a village and only have one page on one written notes. No commentary, no theologian to teach them. It's like, look at it and see what you get from it. So basically, if you can, whatever sermon you heard, whatever presumption you have, that's the best way to remove yourself. So Jesus came to show the Father. All right? He wanted to put a face on God and say, okay, I'll flesh it out. This is how I do life. You know what? If you see me, that's what my Father is like Father, like Son. Because like Father, like Son, we too can be like Jesus, to accept the way he accept, to forgive the way he forgive and love. All right, what's the next one, Eve? Okay. So if you look at Luke 15, like say, ask the question, all right? I'm going to break it up, but ask the question, look at it. So soap is something, I don't know, somebody came up with, but I always do that. You jump into the scripture, all right? You jump into the scripture, take a scripture, jump into it, observe, smell the story, you know, who's there, smell it, be in the story, be in the biblical world. Get into it as much as possible, observe. All right? And then A is application. How do I do it in 2023? How do I live like Jesus? If I understand that's what God is doing about, what do I do? And P is pray and practice. That's how word become alive in you. All right? So we're going to take Luke 15. We're going to go all chapter. Remember when they wrote the Bible, it wasn't in chapter. There was no title. All right? So sometimes those limitations is what we stuck. As in, we thought, that's all it is. For example, anyway, we'll look at it. So ask the question constantly when you look at one, two scriptures, like, how did God accept, forgive, and love? And then reflect on the story. It's like, what was the character like? Did they do like God? And then apply yourself. If I was in that situation, I will be that character or that character, or I can't identify with the story. And that's okay, because Jesus' story is Jesus' story. All right, he's the best storyteller, but not everyone get it. If everyone got it, they would have become Christian. So that's the reality. Even when we tell our story, not everyone going to get it. That's how we accept. People will reject you. And I got Claire. She's going to use her dramatic voice to help me. All right, so we're going to look at Luke 15. Like I say, no predetermined thoughts about it and see what we get from it. All right, next one.
Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them."
Okay. So, two verses. Now all the tax collectors. Who are the tax collectors? Who are the sinners? And they were drawing near to Jesus. Do you have sinners drawing close to you? Inclining like, what are you talking about? So who are the tax collectors? Who are the sinners? All right? No Greek and all that, which you're gonna like, okay, tax collectors. That's all we know, tax collectors. Someone to collect tax. All right? In those times, the tax collectors represent the Roman oppressing empire. So it's a social, you can say social scum, in a way of, you know, nobody likes him or them, all right? And the sinners, who are the sinners? So you kind of have social kind of outcasts, and then the religious, the Pharisee, the scribes. Again, you know, you're kind of like, okay. Even if you don't know the word, you're kind of like, okay, there's four groups of people, but you can divide into two groups who is inclined to see it. And Jesus responds to who? Is that my phone? All right, it's time to keep quiet, but I'll go on. So it's in the context of that, you kind of like, okay, break it down. There's two groups, religious, all right? So I dig up the word Pharisees, separatists. It's not just religious, it's hyper-religious. One who have influence in telling the Jewish people what's right and wrong. And they're so elite that they call themselves Pharisees. So Pharisees came out from the scribe. Scribe is the law regulator, the search out, you know, what's the rules and all that. Okay, then you have the Pharisees. So Pharisees elite. But that's the two group of people. All right? So we're going to unpack that. But they were recognizing Jesus. Accept them. Accept is to open up your heart personally to make space to receive someone, to welcome them. When people look at you, would they say, oh, wow, you sit with the LGBTQ people. You know, what's wrong with you? Some people have asked me what's wrong with me when I did that. You know, so Pharisees were asking that. What's wrong with you? So Pharisee and the scribe then, in reverse, do not accept them, do not receive them, and therefore dare not eat with them because their pollution will come to them. So they were separatists. Are we called to be like them, my friends and brothers and sisters? So Luke 5, 29 to 32 is a reflection that Jesus called the Levi, who is that Matthew. And Matthew got like, yeah, I'm going to follow you. And then he had the big party, which obviously invited all his tax collectors and sinners. It is there that Jesus said, I come not to seek the righteous. I come to seek those who are lost and sick. That's what I'm here for. That's why I spend time with them. And then Luke 7, 31 to 36. It is again, the tax collector and sinners were around, and then the Pharisee and scribe sort of say, you guys, you know, to the disciple, why do you hang out with them? And Jesus say, I'm friends of sinners. Can you see how Jesus AFL the sinners? Next one.
What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
All right. How many of you will risk $1 for $99. You guys are smart person. One sheep for 99. How many would you risk that? It's a rhetoric question that assumes all of us would do it. All right? Come on. How many will risk $1 for 99? And where's the 99? It's not protected. There's no suggestion it's protected. So what does it mean? You know, what kind of shepherd is this that is willing to leave 99 to go after one? So who is this 99 and who is this one? I don't have the answer, but the presumption is we all will do it. I won't. I'm a Chinese. You know, how am I going to risk $10 for $90? I'm trying to work out my best. One out of 100. I'm just saying, we don't think like that. All right? How many of you will risk that? All right? I like, okay, one loss. I'll keep my, you know, whatever it is. I don't want to risk it. But Jesus did. Jesus did because $1 is one lost soul. When he found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. AFL, the gracious way, you know. How many of us were like, you deserve it? You deserve it. It's your fault. You didn't stay close to me. You walk away. Stupid sheep. None of that. Didn't even question, put it, and walk all the way back. How far back? Rejoicing. Hallelujah, I found my sheep. AFL. We can't do it like Jesus, but Jesus wants us to do it like him. Next one.
And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
So, back to verse 1 and 2. Who was he talking to? Tax collectors, sinners, Pharisee, and the scribe. Out of that four group, who will be rejoicing hearing this? Pharisee were like, you're crazy, man. In fact, I actually think the heaven rejoice if one of these sinners get destroyed. You know? Another one bite the dust. They're no use. What use are sinners? But again, the gracious heart of God, who represent a shepherd that will risk 99 to go after one, and one lost soul, God say, let's party. On earth and in heaven, let's party. Do we party when the lost soul come? You know? Or do we like, oh no, now I have to clean up my house. You know, he's going to spill all over my carpet, you know, drug addict, whatever, you know, wildlife, lost sheep, smelly sheep. AFL. Like I say, when I look at it in a fresh way, I'm like, yeah, by the grace of God, maybe I can. Next one.
Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
All right, Jesus Christ, the best storyteller, he can choose whatever word, isn't it? Guess what? He chose a woman to represent God. Did you see that? Because at the end, who's going to rejoice? Did you see that? A lot of people like saying, nah, God is too manly. A woman. And most men is like, oh, coin. I'm not going to bother with that. But a woman does, because it's value to the woman. So God identified the emotion of a woman and said, what you value, I value. Now this is 10% out of 100 now. Is it? No. Is it? Is it? Yeah. Okay. My maths is, like I say, I'm exhausted. All right. I'm exhausted. I only have 2-3 hours sleep for a while. Thank you. So again, the rejoicing of one lost coin. Obviously, it's valuable to the woman. Again, it's identified with human emotion. And God say, you know, if you're going to search the whole house, you know, turn things upside down, what about me? I'll search the universe for one lost soul. And when I get it, again, party. Now the angels get involved, because one sinner who repents is worthwhile. So when we talk about AFL, it's like, what do we value? How much do we value? You know, I pray that we will have a bit of God's hearts when we look at lost things. You know, obviously, it was a set and something lost. So the first two I would suggest is for sinners. All right, let's look at the next one.
And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living.
So the first two, the lost sheep and the lost coin, I think the sinners and the tax collector, you know, can identify more. But this one, if you think about it, I don't think it's about sinners. I think the people already in the house of the Father. Who are in the house of the Father? And see how generous the Father is. No discussion. Come, you want to get, I'll give it to you. Half of the estate. That's very generous. All right? If I'm the father, I have two sons, I don't think I'll give half. Because I'm still alive, all right? I know all the context that you all heard about. Okay, I'm not going there, but I'm saying I would not give half. That's too generous, all right? There's older son, there's younger son, then myself. I'll probably give 25%, you know, 50% to the father, and then half. But this is over-generous. No discussion, no argument, AFL. That's a tough one. You know, for us parents, that's a tough one. You know, you see your young son or whatever. This is about relationship. If you love someone, this is what the father heart is. You accept them for making the wrong choices. You don't even argue with them out of it. This father obviously have the authority, but he said, okay. And it was clearly the son saying, Dad, I'm rejecting all you are to me, and I'm going my way. And the father said, father didn't argue. So we're reading in the context. Obviously, he's journeying into a distant country. Again, he's like, far, far away. Just do my own stuff. Not under your covering, protection, or curiosity. So you read it. You had a wild life. Okay. Next one.
Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him.
Yeah. I just put there rebellious consequences, you know, that part of AFL is sometimes you have to accept people's choices and people's consequences. So that's why a lot of people are like, why is God so loving and yet da-da-da-da-da, you know, because God say, you have free choice, but you can't choose your consequences. Whatever choice you choose, there's consequences. So God doesn't send people to hell. People are already going to hell. And God's saying, there's a way out. There's a way out. I'm the way out. You know what I mean? So, you know, the context of not understanding God is so accepting, loving. You know, that's why as a church, you know, the plebiscite, I think we got it wrong. We were shouting at the people and saying, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, rather than accept and say, okay, you think love is love like that, I still accept you. But if you come and talk to me, I have a differences. And part of the differences is why the strength is, you know, harmony, diversity. It's like, I'm going to live next door to you because I'm not going to move out because I'm part of your life. So I accept you. In fact, I've already forgiven you. It's just the consequences of, you know, if you want to talk about it, there's a consequences of your choice. And that's just AFL. God's way. God's gracious way. You know, I don't want to unpack the rest, but basically, he was in trouble. Real big trouble. Next one.
But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father.
Again, AFL is free choice. The father was not with the son to keep saying, you need to repent, you need to repent, you need to repent. He came to his senses. That's what repentance is. Suddenly, oh, my thinking of this way is wrong. I better go this way. Part of the repentance is getting up and doing something about it and then confession that, maybe I'm wrong. Next one.
But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Do you want me to read the next bit?
Sure.
His father is like Jesus' father.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, if you unpack it, all right. the father was obviously looking out for that young son. He was just looking out. I'm sure he was praying. I'm sure he was praying and hoping that I will see my son again. So he was looking out. He was constantly like looking out. It felt compassion, not condemnation, that, you know, this son of mine is going to disgrace me. You know, all the village is going to like, you know, your reputation, Papa, is gone. Look at him. He smells like a pig. You know, look at him. He has no shoe. He walked like a beggar. You know? That's the father's heart. He ran. He ran. You know, he sprinted and embraced him in grace. You know? Again, AFL. He embraced him while he was still smelling like a pig. A Jewish man. Big AFL. Kiss him. That means really close. Really close. All right? I can smell the neck. I mean, I kiss Daniel once in a while. I can smell his hair. Oh! Sorry. Terrible. Sorry. Dodgy joke. Forgive me. All right? You know what I mean? That's how close the father gets. You know what I mean? We don't want to be Pharisees like, nah. Stay away. You're social scum. Or the church persecute you. Do we persecute the one that we don't understand? We do it. I mean, I do it. In a way that we think is righteous. Let's not do it. This is the way to do it. You know? If people meet you halfway, one step, run towards them. You know, we had a birthday party for a mainland Chinese girl, and two Muslim came. I cooked halal food. They're like, wow, you bought halal food for us? I say, yeah, I know you're Muslim. You know? Cook it the way you like, and some couldn't eat this, couldn't eat that. So realistically, it was inconvenient. You know, I just like to cook pork and everybody eat, you know, but the Muslim can't, you know, cook seafood, some people can't. But that's the hospitality God's saying to us, and I pray as a church that we will open our floodgate and say, no, come as you are. Come as you are. This is a table of grace. AFL, you know, I wasn't smart enough to come up with it. When I came up with it, and I'm like, if we do this till end of my life anyway, when I get up there, I think God said, okay, that's good enough. You know, even if I didn't heal anyone, just the pure show and tell, I accept you, I receive you, I welcome you. And you know what? My father forgive you too. I'm trying to love like my father, but forgive me if I don't do that. That's our father. Daddy Abba, that's his name. He's a daddy in heaven. Abba, beautiful. Next one. All right, we got, okay. So yeah. This is very, yeah, you read it, sorry.
Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in.
Have you heard of the word righteous anger? I heard it so many times. In Christian context. And those righteous anger people, I am actually afraid of them because they will persecute me for their righteousness' sake. And their anger is so fierce you wonder whether they are Christian or not. Have you come across righteous anger people? I have come across. Same son, same father, biologically. You know, we have people like that in church. We have brothers and sisters like that. And again, we kind of see how the father treat religious people like that. You know, the religious, righteous, obviously no AFL. And if you look at it in context, you kind of laugh because, you know, there's music and dancing. It's like, what's going on there? You know, there's music and dancing. You know, if anyone would know, it's like there's a party going on. But this guy is so righteous in his spiritual thing that he can't recognize there's party in the father's house. He's just like, what's going on? He really got no idea when the father wants the party. He's like, what's going on? I can't relate with that. So he was very angry and he's like, I'm not going in there. There's party going on. Something is not right. Next one.
And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.
Interesting, isn't it? The young son, dad, can I have half of your inheritance? And I'm going to take and party out there, wildlife, distant land. And the father did not even plead with him. But this one, the father said, hey, this is a party for you. Come and join. Have you come across Christian like that? They're like, no, no, no. I know what I believe. I'm right, you're wrong. Even the father can't say anything because he has the answer before the father can say. I hope we don't become Christian like that, that we have all the answers. You know, when someone is slightly different in their doctrine or their practice, we kind of, no, 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 that can't be right. That's what he's doing. His attitude is like, Father, you got no idea what you're talking about. In fact, let me tell you what is right. I'm right because I've been doing all this. I've been the obedient one. And you got it wrong. You let that son of yours, he's not my brother. Your son that is doing that, I don't want to be part of it. All right, let's finish. Next one.
And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found.
So again, that reflects God's heart, his relationship with the Father. So this young son obviously was not dead, but dead in the sense of relationship with the Father. And the older son, it's not dead either, but religiously apart from the father, doing his own thing, legalistic. Legalism is not a form of Christianity. It's a form of religion. I hope from this there's a bit of insight to God's heart. Because Jesus uses that, you know, and there's a connection there, and we break it up. You know, one of the big things is everyone like, oh, yeah, prodigal son, I know that. But the word prodigal is not there. So that's why, you know, a lot of title, we lose out the whole package. The whole package is Jesus trying to say to the Pharisee and the scribe particularly, and then those who dare to listen in, the tax collector and sinner, is, I'm here for you. Much, much more than the religious people. But the religious people, I'm here for them too, if they respond. In Luke 7, I didn't say that, all right? But there was a context in Luke 7. It basically, the tax collector and the sinners were having party with the disciple. And then at the end, one of the Pharisees actually asked Jesus and said, hey, can you come and dine with me? All right, it's in Luke 7. And then Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and reclined. So Jesus had no problem with the religious. It's just the religious had a problem with Jesus' grace, acceptance, forgiveness, and love. It's like, no, 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 this is too easy. Let's set the standard up. That's why we are here, you know? You're kind of bringing us down. We want to be here, up here, elitist. All right, what's the next one? All right, there you go. Like father, like son. We can all do it. I think that's it, isn't it, Eve? Is that it, Eve? Anything else? No? That's good. All right. Let's party. Thank you, Claire.